Hey, everybody, Matt, Jess and Dave here.
Sorry, Jess, just butting in quickly to let the listeners know that I'm going to be in Sydney this week, coming up the 8th to the 12th of May, and you can get tickets now via mattshieldcomedy.com, then going straight to Brisbane on the 16th to the 19th. So tickets for my show Dryer Dryer in Sydney and Melbourne.
Sorry, Matt, I'll just cut you off there. I just need to tell everyone that our quiz show, our web series, is out right now. Do go on the quiz show. You can see it on Stupid Old Channel for free on YouTube. Type in "Do Go On The Quiz Show" and you can see three episodes right now covering topics like Google, Queen Victoria, the Olympics, and we got five more episodes coming up. So like and subscribe, whatever that means.
They are big topics too. And I said Sydney and Melbourne. I meant Sydney and Brisbane. Anyway, let's get on with the show.
I'm still here too.
Oh, hey, Jess.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Hey everyone, just Dave here, dropping in at the start of the episode to tell you that what you are about to hear is our 250th episode. Whoa! And because of that, it was recorded and streamed live at Stupid Old Studios. And if you want to watch the fun, you can still catch up on it at sospresents.com. And if you get a ticket to that, you can also get a season pass, which means you can watch the last 2 weeks' episodes, as well as our final stream this Saturday, August the 8th, 12 p.m. Melbourne time. And if you have a ticket to this one, it also means we had our 250th birthday party after that, which was a lot of fun, and we had all our former report givers sending in videos for a fun quiz. So if you have a ticket, you'll see the likes of Nick Mason, Mr. Sunday Movies, Claire Tonti, Alistair and Andy from Two in the Think Tank, Joel Dusha, Carl Chandler, Josh Earl, Naomi Higgins, Sam Tonkin from Listen Now. Ah, it was such a great time. The only other thing I have to say is you'll notice that Matt's microphone sounds a little different to ours. That's because Matt was feeling a little under the weather. So just to be safe, he went and got a COVID test and was isolating from us, which he's since been absolutely cleared of. But yeah, his microphone sounds a little bit different to ours, but you can absolutely hear him fine. So I hope you enjoy this episode. We'll be back with 251 next week. Until then, here it is. 250. Welcome to another episode of Do Go On. My name is Dave Warnocky, and as always, I'm joined by Jess Perkins and Matt Stewart.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello for what is the 250th time, guys?
Yeah, and God, we look good.
We look great.
For 250, we look very good.
250 episodes young.
Yeah. Has any other podcast ever done 250 episodes?
I actually checked in the Guinness World Record book.
Yeah.
Also known as the Guinness Book of Records.
Yes.
And we are the most prolific podcast of all time.
Get out of town.
Did you know that, Matt?
And that's not even including the bonus episodes and all the amazing extra content we put out for people.
That's right.
Is this an infomercial now?
It is now.
So, yeah.
You'll never believe where I got the balloons for today. I got them at Lombard, the paper people, for all your party needs.
For the people at home who are listening to this podcast right now, we are surrounded by balloons and we're wearing party hats because we get into any occasion we can.
Yes! We love it. We love to dress for an occasion. There you go. Matt's put a hat on.
Yeah.
Hey!
And the transition to serial killer is complete. Well,
I know we've done it 250 times now, but the only person that's been here for all 250 episodes is the legend that is Matt Stewart. So I'm going to ask you, Matt, how does this show work? You know it more than anyone else.
Oh, great. Thank you so much for asking. I'll field this one. So the way it works is one of the three of us goes away and researches a topic that's been suggested by usually a listener, but could be anyone, could be my dad, like it was last week. And then well, they go away and they research the shit out of it, and then they take that knowledge back to the group and report on what they've learned in the form of a report, and then the other two are annoying a bit. And, yeah, it's fun, but we learn and laugh.
Wow, those words were as fresh as they were 249 weeks ago. Yeah. Thank you so much for that explanation. It is my turn to do the report this week, and we always start with a question. And to get us onto topic, I'll ask that question. And my question to both of you now is, Albert Johnson is better known to history under what badass name? What badass name? Albert I'm wondering Johnson. If you've seen this one in the hat before. I will confirm that for the 250th episode, I put out five topics for the Patreon supporters to vote on. Stuff that I've always wanted to do on this show, and this is the topic that I've put up to vote more times than any other, and it always came second.
Really?
And I reckon that maybe you would have seen it in the hat.
Is it Albert Fish?
Well, what do fish live in? Would you say a river?
Yeah. River Phoenix.
No, it is. This man is known as the something of Rat River.
It's got everything already.
I know. I thought that maybe you would have seen it because, like, the title does stick out. Oh, can
King, Prince.
He's a mad something of mad Rat River.
Boater.
Ooh.
The mad captain. Ooh. Matt, help me out here. Mad
captain of Rat River sounds good.
Yeah, Mad Hatter. Mad.
Oh, Hatter's beer really bottle. Close.
Mad
box.
Mad Hatter is close. Window.
It sounds close. It is. I'll just reveal it for you. It is the mad trapper of Rat River. Have you seen this topic in the hat before?
I don't know if I have.
The Mad Trapper of... it stood out to me for years now, and I wanted to do it.
Because of Rat River?
The Mad Trapper of Rat River. It's got everything, like you say.
Yeah.
Have you heard of this one, Matt?
That rings a bell for sure, yeah. I reckon I've
put it up to vote. This is the fifth time, and it's finally come up trumps for 250. So...
Wow,
I was saving
done.
It for a special occasion.
Yeah, well exactly. Done to the people who voted.
Yeah, the Patreon supporters, they know what they're doing.
Hopefully, you've made a good decision. I feel like you have.
Oh, I think
I'm
they
already
have.
Excited. Are you seriously cracking a beer? I'm so jealous.
Matt's cracking a beer. Love it. All right, now this topic's been suggested by a few people over the years, and thank you to Troy Baker, Chris Kerr, Jana from Hamburg, Dave Rogers, Tim Randall, and Derek Cluthier.
Oh,
many of which, apart from Jana from Hamburg, are all Canadian listeners, apart from Tim Randall, actually, he's also Australian. But most of those are Canadian listeners because this is a Canadian topic.
Okay.
So let's crack into our 250th report, The Mad Trapper of Rat River. Now, our story starts near Fort McPherson, an isolated spot in the Northwest Territories of Canada. In July of 1931, a stranger arrived in the small town. Consisting of just a few cabins and a small trading post, Fort McPherson was such a tiny and isolated community that any newcomer very much stood out.
Okay.
The stranger had arrived on a raft on Peel River and calmly walked into the log trading post to get supplies. The man behind the counter, Bill Douglas, sized up his new customer. The stranger was about 5'10", with blue eyes and had brown hair. Probably about 35 years old, but his face was weathered, not uncommon for men who lived and work in the wilderness around these parts. Canadian magazine, Maclean's, described the man as, quote, a most unlikely material for romance.
Okay.
Brutal.
What? So he's an Argo.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like the most welcoming town.
No, yeah.
He just walks in to buy some stuff and they're like...
Size him up. What brings you around these parts? Yeah. That kind of...
Yeah, it's like, oh, you better be passing through.
Yeah, huh? And you better not be here for a romance because your face is unlikely to get anything.
And only hotties here.
Yeah. I should also say that the town was full of supermodels, so any ugly people really much stood
really
out.
Really stood out. They stood out. Yeah. I hate visiting those towns.
Yeah, oh my God.
You're like, oh, I just need to get milk, but I got to put on a freaking ball gown.
Imagine a dress count at the dress code at the milk bar. Just want a Buffalo Bill ice cream.
Nope, not in those thongs.
The footwear. Bit of fun. Bill Douglas is the man behind the counter, sizing up his new customer. Tried to make a bit of small talk with the man. You know, work out where he was from and where he was heading. But the man only spoke to order supplies and dodged any sort of interrogation.
Right. Just changing the subject.
Yeah, just
where
like,
are you from? What's that? Over there. Yeah.
I'll have a fishing rod.
Yeah. Works every time.
It was eventually established that the man's name was Albert Johnson.
Albert Johnson.
This is almost certainly an alias, but for now that is what we'll call him.
Bert Johnson.
It's a pretty good name.
I don't mind it.
Bertie J.
I like that. That is the, you thought the cover Albert Johnson was covering for his real name, Bert Johnson. I'll never figure it out.
I think that, you need to get on the code. Crack the case. He spoke with a faint Scandinavian accent.
Oh, what's that sound like?
And people speculated that he may have come from Denmark.
Way to dodge that. Me trying to throw you under the bus.
No, I thought you were talking to Matt. How does a Danish accent sound?
I went to school with a Danish guy, I know this pretty well. Have I told you about him before? He got the nickname Denmark.
Oh, that's good. That's clever. Good. Yeah.
Where did they get that from?
I'm not sure. I never cracked that code.
Wow. It's like...
I think he sounded a bit like, hello, how's it going?
Yeah, that is pretty.
Well, I can understand why they call him Denmark.
Because it's a faint accent. Remember, it was a faint accent.
So faint that it was almost non-existent.
It's like a girl that came to my school in about year 10, Tanya, and we called her Canada. She was from Canada.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
In primary school, in prep first grade here, we had a girl in our class called Amy French.
Oh yep.
The teacher had to call a meeting to explain that that was just her name and that she was not in fact French.
She had to call a meeting.
Yeah, because we were all acting like she was French and the teacher had to be like, no, her name is just French. She is not
French.
What
do you mean you were all acting like she was French?
Well, we're just like, we're
French. How do you act when someone nearby is French?
well, you know. Come on.
Kids.
Yeah, kids. We just thought she was
French. I like how you called a meeting. Like you're all business partners at this school. We're calling a meeting.
Shareholders.
Yeah, we call that
detention. Where I went to school.
Yeah, I think you had a detention.
No, we were brought into the boardroom. We all had to sell our stocks. It was very fun. So you had a faint Scandinavian accent, possibly from Denmark, but he never told them that. In fact, he never told them anything.
Okay.
He spent several thousand dollars on supplies over the next few days, which was a very sizable sum of money in those days. And it was very obvious he was getting ready to trap. That is, trapping animals for their fur pelts that would be sold for large sums of money.
Oh, okay.
So that's why he's called the Mad Trapper.
Mad Trapper, got it.
During the Great Depression, fur trading had proved to be one of the few lucrative professions, so it wasn't too uncommon for strangers to arrive in these very isolated areas to try their luck.
Yeah.
A bit like gold mining 80 years earlier. What was different about this man is that he didn't seem to be struggling for money at all. Judging by the cash that he carried, he seemed quite wealthy.
But what if the cash that he carried was everything?
Yeah, so he's got his life savings.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, I might look wealthy if I got 100 bucks in my wallet, because we don't really carry cash anymore. But if that's all I've got...
That's everything.
That's everything.
I cleaned out the vault for this 100. Yeah.
I wanted to feel rich. And then I realised, oh, things are not good for me right now.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
As he was preparing to go trapping, over the next few days, people began to talk about the newcomer. Became the talk of this very small town. Police officer, a Mountie named Edgar Millen, widely known as Newt.
Oof, like that.
Well, Newt came to town. He was on a routine patrol but had heard about Johnson from First Nations people in the area. So everyone's talking about this guy. Douglas, who'd sold the supplies to the newcomer, told Newt, the Mountie, that he reckoned with the supplies the man had bought and the few questions he'd asked about the area, that he guessed the man was probably going to head up Rat River.
Rat River!
That old Rat River.
I love how gossipy this town is. Oh. Like, even the Mountie's like, so what's the deal with this guy? You know, like, get over it.
Yeah, for sure. People are being arrested based on rumour in this town.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
The Mountie Newt decided he'd better have a chat to Johnston to work out if he was heading up Rat River and to find out if he knew just how dangerous and unforgiving this part of the world would be. So I'll just go give him a bit of it. Give him a talking to. Right. See if he works out what he's getting into. When Newt found Johnston, he was assembling his gear and getting ready to leave. He was certainly not happy to see the police officer. Johnston reluctantly shook the Mountie's hand. Newt asked Johnston where he'd come from, and he gave an answer that contradicted the direction that he'd actually been seen to arrive from.
Oh, okay.
So Newt knew he was lying. He decided to let it go.
Yep. Catch him in the lie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ask him a few more questions, which Johnston was evasive with his answers and said he wasn't sure how long he was planning to stay or where he intended to go. Basically gave Newt nothing. When Johnston mentioned Rat River as a possible destination, Newt was shocked to hear it confirmed because it was a perilous journey.
Oh.
Newt asked if Johnston was going alone and strongly suggested that he should hire a local guide.
Okay.
Again from McLean's magazine. No, Johnston said violently. I don't want people bothering me. I like to live alone. You police just cause me trouble. Trouble.
Okay. I was like, oh, did I hear right? Trouble.
Sorry, did you hear a slight Scandinavian accent there?
Yeah, trouble. Trouble? They can't say B.
They can't.
No, they can't do it. It's a bit of a V instead. It's very cute.
You please just cause me trouble.
Trouble.
I don't want nothing to do with you. You want to know all about me? All right. I'm not staying here. If I'm not staying here, you don't have to know all about me. Mm-hmm. A?
Yes.
So okay. Blending in there with the Canadian A. Basically told the police officer, piss off, I'm not your problem, I'm about to go.
Yeah.
Finally, Newt offered to sell Johnston a trapping license. Without one, trapping would be illegal, and if he bought one now, it would save Johnston a trip back into town later.
Okay, but is it at a higher price now, Newt?
No, apparently not. It was just basically doing him a favour, get the hunting license now.
Yeah, right.
You look like you're going trapping. Buy it now. Don't worry about it later. But Johnston said, no thanks. I haven't decided what I'm going to do yet.
Okay.
And with that, he set off into the wilderness. And that was the last we heard from him for a while.
For a while. Mm. So the story does not end here.
No, this is but the introduction. Matt, what do you think so far? Are you a fan of this Bert Johnston, a.k.a. Albert Johnston, a.k.a. Albert Johnston?
Well, it just seems like a guy's going about his business, right?
Yeah.
Feels like we're prying just talking about him.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're a couple of sickos here.
Real nosy Nellies.
Yeah, what is this? You guys belong in that town. You guys are probably from Rat River, the way you go about it.
Yeah.
I love goss.
Yeah, you do, you rat. You love ratting.
Rat.
You love ratting on Rat River.
Give us some goss, Bob.
Oh, well.
What do you know?
How long you got? Anyway, Dave, do go on.
I was going to say probably about a 30-second talk break there and then move on with the report, but no goss, okay. So the last we heard from him, that was July.
What year is this?
1931.
Mm, the 30s.
But by December, the freezing snow and winter had well and truly set in. And I mean freezing. The weather during this time in this part of the world regularly dips as low as negative 40 degrees.
It's December, is that not their summer?
No.
No.
Oh, it's our summer.
No, that's our summer.
I was like, oh my God, Dave, you sound so stupid right now.
Also, imagine if it was their summer. I'm like, yeah, it is their summer and it's top of negative 40.
I was so confused. But that's our summer. It's hot for us in December.
So in the...
quite cold for them
up there.
In
the Northern Hemisphere. And they're
as
very,
you were just explaining.
This is very far north Canada, absolutely.
I have a degree. I'm a tertiary educated
person.
And
you've got a degree in meteorology as well.
Yeah. How'd I get that? I paid for it.
And just for our international listeners, that is our negative 40 in both Celsius and Fahrenheit.
What do you mean?
Whoa. What does that mean?
The one temperature where they match up on the scales.
Get out
negative
of town.
40. Do you know that? It's a good trivia fact for you if you ever need to wheel that one out of the pub quiz.
That's fascinating. Cool.
Minus 40 both Celsius and Fahrenheit. So we can all agree it's fucking cold.
That's awful cold.
I don't know. What does that even mean? Negative 40, that's like real cold.
It's like you're
that's like colder than your freezer. Am I right? If you're in your freezer, that's colder than that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the kind of thing where you'd sleep in the freezer for warmth.
Yeah. It's the kind of thing where your snot freezes in your nose.
Oh, no, Jess, please. We're at a polite dinner party now. No talking like that. Thank you.
I always talk about snot at dinner parties.
Yeah, it's one of your traits.
I'm snot girl.
Great.
That's why I don't get invited to a lot of parties.
Well, I live in my truth.
So it was during this very cold time that stories of Johnson began to emerge. Local First Nations people complained to the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, Mounties. Dudley Do-Right.
Yeah.
Brendan Fraser.
Cannot wait for that with Fraser the Bar.
They complained that a strange white man had failed to get up Rat Rapids and had built a small 8x10-foot cabin near a trap line that they'd been using for centuries. They said that this man was springing their traps, so setting them off prematurely, or throwing them into the forest and then illegally setting up his own in their place.
Oh, okay.
So these people, they've been trapping there for centuries and they have the right to do that.
So he set up he set up a home for himself.
Down I go. I've had a fall. At my age, that's bad news.
Yeah, it is worrying when the oldies have a fall.
It sounded like you were cleaning out the garage before you fell. Are you doing a bit of spring cleaning during this report?
Sorry, while you were going on with your jibber jabber, I thought I'd get a few things done around the house.
Around the shed.
Well, it's a house for me. A man's shed is his home, Jeff.
No, that man's shed is that man's home. That sad man. But speaking of sad men in sheds, so this guy has set up, did you say he's like made a little cabin for himself?
Yeah, 8x10 foot, so not very big.
I mean, it's not bad. But Jesus, la-di-dar over here. Oh, like, wait, foot. Yeah, sorry. It's
about 3x2.4 meters.
I'm thinking meters again. What is wrong with me? I can't get anything right today.
It's almost like
yet I keep trying.
So the First Nations people were complaining that he was setting off their traps and just like fucking up their hunting. The first complaint came through on Christmas Day. So this is secretly a Christmas episode. Merry Christmas, yes. Everybody.
Ooh, Merry Christmas. Christmas in July. Only it's August. Damn it.
Oh, so close. So two officers decided to go and pay Albert Johnson a visit. Mm-hmm. Because their territory is so large and unforgiving, it took 3 days just to get there.
Wow.
It's unbelievable how much territory they got to cover. When Constable Alfred King and Special Constable Joe Bernard...
Ooh, how do you be a special constable? I feel like I'd be a special one. I'd get to wear a different kind of glittery badge or something.
They give you a plastic gun.
Yeah, that'd be me.
When they finally arrived at Johnson's cabin to question him, he simply refused to answer the door.
Oh, that old chestnut.
So the officers had to turn around and travel 128 kilometres or 80 miles back just to get a search warrant. So you travelled all that way, knock, knock, knock. He doesn't answer, so they have to trek 3 days back.
I mean, think ahead and just, why not just get that in the first place? Well, you know what he's like.
Their plan had been just to have a chat with him, right. Tell him that he wasn't allowed to trap in this area, and that was probably it. Give him a warning. So they thought it was going to be no big deal.
Yeah.
So on December 31st, so yes, this is secretly a New Year's episode. Happy New Year, everybody. It was another 3-day trip, but they got there, and this time King and Bernard were backed up by Constable R.D. McDowell.
Oof.
And brace yourself for this, Jess. Special Constable Lazarus City Chinley.
Yes.
What?
Lazarus
City
Lazarus,
Chinley.
City Chinley. I've written that out phonetically.
City Chinley.
City Chinley. Great name.
Everyone have a go at home. City Chinley.
City Chinley.
That's great.
Bit of fun.
Lazarus too.
My first name Lazarus. So good. This time they'd made a cracking pace back to the cabin. King was impatient to finish this business in time to get back to shopkeep Bill Douglas's famous New Year's Eve party being held back in town. They're like, we're going to wrap this up in the morning. First thing so we can get back by midnight so we can party with Bill Douglas.
You know his parties.
Oh,
he's got the best cocaine.
They're legendary. Lot of snow outside, best snow inside. Bill Douglas's house.
And inside, my nose.
So that's what they're thinking about. They're thinking about the party.
Love that.
This is still routine. They've got the search warrant now. So they knock on the door and no one answered. So this time they got a search warrant. They tried to force the door and then boom! Albert shot at them through the door, hitting King and knocking him into the snow. He was badly wounded, having been shot in the stomach.
Oh, that's bad.
The officers fired back briefly before tending to King's wounds and loading him onto a sled before making the frantic trek back to get medical help. Fortunately, King would survive his injuries. No word if he ever made it to Bill Douglas's New Year's Eve party.
Oh, probably not, I reckon.
Probably not.
If he's been shot in the tum,
yeah.
And he's got to be in hospital for a bit. Yeah, I don't reckon they'd let him out for the party.
I don't think so either.
You know? Nurses are... They're real sticklers like that. No, unfortunately, you do need to stay in hospital.
Oh,
we're keeping
on.
You alive. I don't care. I've got some little party blowers here. It'll be a bit of fun.
Yeah, the nurses are like, if I've got to miss out on Bill Douglas's party and work, yeah. I'd do the short straw, then you got to stay here too.
I'll give you a thimble of Champers and a little bumper Coke, all right? Jeez Louise.
Medical, can we get 10 cc's of cocaine down here? That's what cc stands for, I believe. But now it was fully on. Albert Johnson was a proper wanted man now.
Oh, man. He's just gone to war with the Mounties, the nicest police.
I know. But now I'm mad. They turn their hat backwards. It's the same hat.
But now we're getting revenge.
Before it was quite minor of illegally trapping. They were going to have a chat to him. But now it was attempted murder of a police officer.
Yeah.
So they're taking this quite personally. Inspector Alexander Eames led the party with Bernard and a much larger group of 9 men this time. So they'd brought in the cavalry. They got in Alexander Eames.
So it's Eames and 9 men. So
yes.
10 in total.
10 and 42 dogs.
Okay.
Laden with supplies.
Leave 2 dogs back, but I'm happy with the 10 men.
Okay, well,
that's the meaning of life number, isn't it, Dave? 42
yes.
dogs?
Yes.
Yes, 42 dogs. It all makes sense. They reached the cabin on January 9 after taking a long overland route guided by First Nations people. They didn't want to take the normal route for fear of an ambush.
Sure.
So they went the back way, being guided through the horrible terrain. They arrived at the cabin and could hear a man inside, so Inspector Eames called out to the man to surrender as he was now surrounded.
When they say you can hear someone inside, do you reckon he's singing to himself?
When the moon hits your eye. Or he's baking. Pots and pans. He's taking a really loud dump. Surrender.
Hang on.
Wrap up your business first.
Just a minute. Occupied.
But there was no answer. Can you believe that again? They called out and said, surrender, mate. No answer.
You don't say. That doesn't seem like him. I wonder if everything's okay.
As a lawman approached the silent cabin, it went silent, shots rang out from within. Johnson was firing at them with a shotgun and a rifle, and they had to retreat. So he's shooting at them through the door again. 2 men got close enough to the door to attempt to force it open, but Johnson again opened fire and they were driven back.
Whoa.
Eames, our inspector, realizing that Johnson wasn't going to give up quietly, gave the direction to bring in the cavalry. And I don't mean horses, I mean dynamite.
Oh, okay, great. I thought he was just going to send some dogs in. I'm like, I mean, dogs are pretty clever. I'm not sure if they can open the door like
yeah,
that.
I know.
What if you attach the dynamite to the dogs, Bob?
Well, you did say that there was 42. You did say there were 2 too many.
Don't you make me blow up dogs. Don't make me do that.
You said it, Jess. You could have asked for 8 more, but you specifically asked to kill 2 dogs.
I said leave 2 at home. Give them a day off.
I actually think that tragedy,
we
that
all
is...
knew what that meant.
The ultimate day off.
I think in World War II they actually tried that.
Oh, my God.
To blow up, maybe possibly the First World War, actually, to blow up tanks that would strap dynamite to a dog, which is obviously horrific. I'm only laughing because it went wrong. Still, this is nothing to laugh at. It went wrong because the dog would often come back and blow up the people that had sent it.
Of course they do. Because they're like, my friend.
Oh, my friend. And then they'd be like, no. And they'd be like, yeah, you're yelling at me. Yeah,
you love me. Yeah.
Pounding. They're like, no. So that didn't
go
well.
They think the dynamite stick is like a normal fetch stick.
Yeah.
Bring it. Throw the dynamite. You wanted this back, right? So, but in this thing, back to Canada, they lit a few sticks of dynamite and threw them on the roof of the cabin, eventually blowing off the roof and partially collapsing one of the walls.
Shit.
When the huge echoes of the explosion stopped ringing out on the snowy mountains that surrounded them, everything went still, became quiet. Oof. The Mounties closed in on the rubbit. The rubbit? The rubble.
The rubbit?
The rubble of where the log cabin once stood, getting ready to sift through the rubble of the remains of the outlaw.
Yeah, right.
They're expecting to find a body.
Yeah.
And that's when Johnson emerged from within the rubble and again opened fire.
No, he didn't. Oh, my God. What are you doing?
They blew this man's house up around him.
What's he hiding?
And then he basically kicked out the rubble and with two shotguns and just started Arnold Schwarzeneggering back at them.
You've just made him angry is all you've done.
I know.
But like, why is he doing this?
The question is, how had he survived?
Yeah.
It was later discovered that he dug a deep trench inside the cabin that had formed a series of bunkers. He was shielded by a double barrier of logs sunk at least 3 feet into the earth and had been waiting for their arrival.
Oh, my God. What? Why? Why? What was he... What's he doing?
Well, he shot a police officer and he thought, they're probably not going to let this go.
So why did he do that in the first place? Just answer the frickin' door.
I know.
Just say, hello. Oh, I'm not allowed? Fair enough. Sorry about that. I'm new to the area. Have a lovely day, officer.
And then when they turn around, shoot him in the back.
Totally.
No, don't do that.
Don't do that.
Don't do that, Albert Johnson. But he did do that. And then after this, they're sifting through the rubble. He comes out, starts shooting at them. They had to retreat again and a 15-hour gunfight broke out.
Oh, my God. That's too many hours of gunfight.
I mean...
No, thank you.
Please.
I get hungry. 15 hours I got to be out here shooting.
I don't want to do anything for 15 hours.
Oh,
it might have been a snack maybe. Break, Bob.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Do they stop for lunch?
Yeah,
or?
For sure, absolutely. Hmm. And afternoon tea.
Oh, okay, that's nice.
But it lasted well into the early morning hours despite the 43 below zero temperatures.
No.
That's a no from Bob.
That's a no from me, thanks.
No one was injured, but the Mounties decided to withdraw to get more supplies
and
reinforcements.
No one was injured. 15 hours of gunfight, no one was injured.
Yeah.
So neither side achieved anything.
Basically. It was a stalemate. It was trench warfare all over again. News of the unknown gunman made it to the press. They dubbed the mysterious figure the Mad Trapper of Rat River.
Love that.
The story of a man defying the famous mounted police from within his Arctic fortress fascinated the public. This is according to the Canadian Encyclopedia, and I trust this source with my life because it was written by a man called Edward Butts.
Yep.
Good stuff.
I love you, Edward Butts.
This is what Butts writes about the Mad Trapper and the fascination. A public mired in the depths of the Great Depression sympathized with the figure. Inspector Eames stated that Johnson was not a demented trapper, but a shrewd and resolute man, a tough and desperate character. End quote from there. As the northern drama unfolded, the public eagerly awaited the latest developments. So according to Butts, he became big news around Canada.
Wow.
People were loving...
He's a celeb.
Yeah, people were loving this. It's a bit of an outlaw Ned Kelly type story.
And you know what people love to do with celebs? Gossip about them.
Oh, yeah.
Love a bit of goss, hey?
Love to rant about them.
Love a bit of goss.
Go on. What's the goss on E. Butts, Bob?
Yeah.
Wow, you said it.
You didn't hear it from me.
Can I just say that is allegedly?
Yeah, allegedly.
That's some spicy stuff. The police returned to the cabin a few days later on January 14th, 1932, and they found that Johnson had fled. A massive blizzard had struck the area, which covered Johnson's tracks.
Well, he didn't have a roof anymore, so I don't blame him for fleeing.
Yeah, fair enough. He went to find a roof. So his tracks were covered, but the blizzard made it very hard going for the Mounties, and they assumed that it would also make it hard for Johnson himself. With no shelter to protect him, they were certain a stranger to the area would struggle to survive, probably die pretty quickly.
Yeah.
He had no dogs to carry supplies. He was out there on his own. All he had was the clothing on his back and a couple of guns. But Johnson was no fool. He travelled on frozen rivers to avoid leaving a trail. Where possible, he followed caribou trails, an effective way of disguising his own tracks. He often doubled back on himself and even attempted to outsmart the Mounties on his trail by walking with his snowshoes on backwards.
But they also just said they couldn't track him. But he's still like, evade them. And they're like, we can't find your trail anyway, mate.
But when they do pick it up, they're like, is this guy going backwards?
Wow. Okay.
Is this guy a caribou?
Is this guy a river?
He's all of these things. He found his way through underbrush that seemed impenetrable to anyone else. And to avoid giving away his position, he was only able to build small fires when they were shielded by snowbanks. So according to the Canadian Encyclopedia again, Butsy, quote, he travelled in weather that kept even experienced First Nations hunters in their camps and used the terrain to his advantage at every opportunity.
Wow.
So this is some. He's just got a knack for getting through the wilderness. All the while, this guy's legend is growing in the local media. Unbeknownst to him out there in the wilderness, he is quickly becoming a fascinating outlaw hero.
Okay. All right. This isn't the type of life I would want, but...
It's a tough life.
If Johnson wants to do that, that's cool.
That's fine.
Sure, go for it, I guess. Shoot at some cops.
Well, he had to again because the police didn't catch up to him until January 30, 3 weeks since they'd blown up his cabin.
Oh, my God.
So 3 weeks on the run, they spotted Johnson and opened fire on him before he dived into a bush. He was hauled up beside a cliff face and looking like he was pinned down. Constable Edgar Millen, a.k.a. Newt, from the start of the story, called out for Johnson to surrender. Johnson responded by firing his rifle.
Of course he did. It's the only way he knows.
The only language he speaks.
Possibly Morse code. No, no.
Piss off.
Well, the shot hit Millen in the heart and killed Newt instantly.
No, not Newt.
I know.
Yeah. I know very little about Newt, but I liked him.
He seemed all right.
Yeah.
I didn't read this anywhere else, but one of our favourite websites, allthat'sinteresting.com, writes... Afterward,
you
police...
definitely just said .com.
Well,
that was
I told you it was my favourite website.
Sorry.
They write that after the shot, afterwards, police swore they heard Johnson cackle.
Oh, it sounds about right.
Mm, bad boy. The other officers retrieved Newt's body, and by the time they got back to where Johnson had last been seen, he had again disappeared.
How?
Having escaped under the cover of darkness by climbing an almost vertical cliff.
This guy's a psycho.
I know. He's like some sort of non-giving up school guy.
It's all because he just wanted to like be left alone.
I know. He just wanted some peace and quiet.
He's got to be hiding something, right?
Well, ooh. The Mounties inspected where he'd been next to the cliff and discovered that he appeared to be unwounded. No sign of any injury, no blood. They realised that the spot where they thought he'd been pinned down was in fact a makeshift foxhole that he'd made by reinforcing several spruce trees and roots. So again, he'd been prepared for them to come. He'd built like a fortress. Having climbed the cliff and got yet another head start, they guessed he was intending to walk across the mountains to freedom.
What do you mean to freedom?
They thought he might be heading for Alaska, and once he got there, they thought he might disappear forever.
Yeah, right.
So they went after the fugitive, but this time they called in some reinforcements.
More dogs.
More dogs and more dynamite. They called in a plane captained by the renowned bush pilot Wilfred Wop May.
Yes. So many. Every name in this has been fantastic. I know, the 30s. So they knew how to name kids. I'll say it. You know?
Wop. When he was a rookie in World War One, Wop, the pilot, was the last person pursued by the famous Red Baron, who was gunned down as he went after Wop. So this guy's got a cool resume as a pilot.
He's a badass.
He's a badass. He's seen it all. Mm. So the plane was a great step up in two ways. It could be used to resupply the Mounties. In a few hours, it could give them new men, new food, all that sort of stuff. And it could also track Johnson from the air.
Yeah, okay.
Meanwhile, the trapper... Our outlaw hero, Johnson, found the conditions to be finally taking their toll. He'd been on the run for weeks without any real shelter and conditions that never rose above freezing. Never. Even at the hottest part of the day.
He's not even stopping in at the supermarket for snacks.
No.
Maybe Dave's just not telling that part of the story. Dave, you telling the whole story?
Yeah, he stopped at Kmart and he bought himself a schnood.
Yeah, great. So he's snug out there, but it's white, so you can't even see it
from
the air.
Yeah, you can't see his schnood.
And he got a bucket of Skittles. Those really big buckets.
Oh, yeah.
But you only see at Kmart.
I know, and then your hand just becomes a rainbow.
Yeah. You decide it's a good idea and then you get one handful in and you're like, I've made a terrible mistake. This was $10. No.
And that was his undoing, the Skittles.
Because he dropped them, left a colourful trail.
Yeah, he left a trail of orange ones because he doesn't like those flavours.
He's a psycho. Yeah. Orange are delicious.
Oh, really?
Green can fuck off.
Yeah, green are my least favourite. Mm. Green apple, no thanks. Mm-mm. But it never rose above zero, so suffering from frostbite, he couldn't hunt with his gun for fearing of giving away his position, and now he was slowly starving to death.
Okay.
He's got no food. His Skittles ran out.
I don't feel like he's going to get what... Like, I'm just so confused as to why this all started, just because he was like, nah, leave me alone.
I know.
And because some cops came to have a nice conversation, a polite chat to him, and he shot at him. And now he's just on the run.
That's how they tell it, Jeff.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. You're siding with the bad boy. Yeah. You always do.
Oh, no kidding. We always do. We have each other's backs.
Bad boys.
And then shoot each other in the stomach.
Yeah.
Because we're bad. Boys.
Look, I say he's starving to death. Having said that, Johnson still gave them a run for their money. In early February, Johnson was spotted from the air, so on the ground, two groups set out to corner him. They split the party.
Don't split the party.
To try and cut
Dave.
Him off.
Mathematically, I don't think two groups can corner someone.
He fucking
got.
Oh,
Dave.
No.
Dave, you just got fucking got, mate. Good one, Matt. Good
and
pick up
can
there.
I tell you that the Trapper is also a school of mathematics because they did not corner him. They tried to cut him off, but the two groups ran into each other before finding anything other than a trail where he'd been. So they'd been like, go around the back, I'll come out the front. But... And they found each other before they found him.
That's nice. Nice they found each other, though.
Yeah. That is nice.
No, no.
He slipped through their fingers
yet
again.
It would be even nicer if they found themselves. That's why a lot of people go to the wilderness, just to find themselves.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
These guys are going about it all wrong, trying to find a Mad Hatter or whatever this guy is.
Yeah.
Different.
Find
yourself first.
Love
yourself first before anyone can love you.
Yes. Yes. You got to love you first.
Right. I'm learning so much.
Yeah. This is, we're getting, Dave, with our help, won't be a virgin forever.
Dave, well, love yourself and then people will love you. Basically, you know what that means. Give yourself a bit of self-love.
Mate, I've been doing that for years. I mean, my resume is quite long. All right. Okay. Keep at it.
It's not the only thing that's quite long, eh? Or is it? Maybe it is.
Don't answer that, Dave.
Answer the question, Dave.
Is this thing on? On February 9th, the blizzard grounded May's plane, and this is WAP,
yep.
And kept ground patrols in their camps. 3 days later, the police received the astonishing report that under the same harrowing conditions, Johnson had crossed the Richardson Mountains. It seemed like an almost impossible feat. So they can't even go outside. He's crossing mountains.
Has he got some kind of ski-doo or something with him? Have they not mentioned that?
I forgot to mention that he had some sort of teleportation device.
Yeah, has he got a Segway, but with chains on the
but
wheels?
For snow. That's funny. Imagine rocking up at the bottom of a mountain, they're putting snow chains on cars, and you're on a Segway. Chain her up.
See you up there, boys.
It just goes vertically up. God, this guy's good. He's actually like he's on a roller coaster. Oh, why don't we think of that?
Yeah. Well, we just did.
A week later, on February 17th, the search party and Johnson ran into each other on a bend of the frozen Eagle River. Both were taken by extreme surprise.
Oh, he wasn't prepared for them this time.
He was backtracking to cover himself. Basically, it was that thing where you come around a corner and go, oh, shit!
Yeah.
Shit. At first, Johnson tried to run, but then he threw himself down in the snow and opened fire, using his backpack for cover. Inspector Eames again called for his surrender, giving him one last chance to lay down his weapons. But Johnson wasn't ever going to give up without a fight.
What has he made his backpack of, Dave? How do you use your backpack for cover? I'm guessing it's not a little canvas satchel or something.
No, it's reinforced concrete. Six feet thick.
That makes sense then.
Yeah.
No, he was carrying Ned Kelly's mask.
Yeah.
Helmet in his backpack. So he opened fire and shot Sergeant Earl Hersey, who was severely wounded, although he didn't die.
Oh, thank God.
So he shot three officers now, though.
I hate for Earl to die.
Yeah. Earl didn't deserve
Earl
it.
Earl sounds like he's, you know, 2 weeks away from retirement. You know, he's got a few grandkids at home. He just wants to go be a good grandpa.
Yeah.
He's got Hurst in his name. He's ready to die.
I was born ready. But he didn't die despite
his destiny.
Despite his destiny.
Yep.
And he's still alive 90 years later.
Wow.
He's the oldest man ever.
Wow, cool.
Earl Hurst. Surprised I haven't heard of him.
I believe that for a little bit too long.
Yeah, he's 1 week from retirement then, and it's been a long week. He's still working.
He just loves it. He loves the job.
Keeps telling his wife, just one more week.
One more week. And she believes him every week.
So our outlaw has shot another officer. The officer spread out and opened fire, and despite being shot three times, the man commonly called the Mad Trapper kept firing back.
What?
But sadly, all good things must come to an end. And when Johnson's firing stopped for long enough for the men to approach, they discovered that he'd been shot through the spine and died.
Oh.
In total, he'd been shot five times without ever letting out so much as a cry.
This guy's an actual psychopath.
I know. Sounds like he was on something. All up, he'd been on the run for 48 days and led the highly skilled Mounties on a 240-kilometre or 150-mile chase through the harshest terrain on Earth.
Whoa. For what?
I know. Well, the question immediately came, who was he?
Yeah.
What was he?
What's his deal?
Do you have any inkling as to why someone would do this?
He's killed someone before, you know, heading off into the mountains or something, or he's got something to hide, and that's why
he's... Love this theory. Love this.
Surely. Because, like, why else are you just being so immediately hostile? I get it if you're a bit of a loner and you don't want to be around people. Okay, you're not here to join the community. Sure, you're not running for mayor next month, but...
I mean, they'd arrive to tell him, you've been nominated for mayor.
Like, I just got here.
Oh, what? Yeah, there's only six people that live in this town, and everyone else has had a go.
Everyone else thinks you seem nice.
You're up.
So...
You seem great.
What do you reckon? And he shot him.
And they're like, we're going to take that as a maybe?
Yeah, I reckon he's hiding something. Matt, what do you reckon?
Well, yeah, it's got to. He obviously thought they were after him for something else, right? Mm. Otherwise, you wouldn't have reacted like that. So, yeah, what's he done? Is he DB Cooper or something like that? Does that time out well?
He could be a very, very young DB Cooper, like if he was some sort of baby.
Oh, pre-DB.
Well, you know how they say that sometimes when babies are born, like they can like hold their breath naturally, all that sort of stuff. Maybe they can also survive in the wilderness. For several weeks.
I'm willing to test it.
Yeah.
Anybody got a baby I can borrow for just for
We're
like,
going to drop it with a parachute out into the Alaskan wilderness.
We'll see what happens.
Give it a concrete backpack and two guns. Good luck to you.
See you later, baby. That's not me being offensive and calling you baby. I don't know your name and you're a baby.
Yeah, baby. Well, a careful search of Johnson's body uncovered no form of identification, no photographs, no personal mementos. None had been found at his cabin either. All he'd carried were practical stuff like a razor, a comb, mirror, fish hooks, matches, nails, an axe, a pocket compass, 119 shells, so he fired a lot, but he still had a lot of ammo left, freshwater pearls, some gold dust.
Was that just the stuff that's at the bottom of the cornflakes packet?
Yeah, you're saving it for later.
Yeah, love that stuff.
$2,400 in bills, which is a lot of money at the time, and a bottle full of gold teeth, which didn't match his dental records.
He's just carrying teeth,
yeah.
In a bottle. Gold teeth.
Or how do you carry your teeth, Jeff?
In a little Ziploc baggie.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Not an animal. Yeah. I go phone, keys, wallet, bag of teeth. All right, I'm ready to go. And these days, in these trying times, it's bag, keys, wallet, mask, teeth.
Duh. A post-mortem was carried out before he was buried in a local cemetery. The report didn't offer many clues. All it deduced was he was likely in his 30s, had no tattoos or major identifying marks, it looked like he'd never had any major surgery, and his fingerprints didn't match any on police records across Canada or in Washington, Stockholm or London. It's almost like this guy had never existed. They also traced his weapons.
Yeah, well, why don't they check Stockholm if he was from Denmark? Shouldn't they have checked Copenhagen?
Yeah, it was a clerical error. They were like, close enough. I'm sure he went to Stockholm during his time.
At some point. I don't know.
They also traced his weapons and banknotes, and those leads also came to a dead end.
Who is this guy?
Before he was his body was buried, police took several pictures of Johnson's corpse. These were widely distributed, hoping someone would come forward and recognise him.
Do you know this corpse? On the back of milk packets and stuff.
They put the corpse in lost property. Come and claim him.
Pick it up.
If you don't claim, he's not claimed within 4 weeks, he is up for grabs.
Yeah. And Sharon is keen.
Yeah.
She's a very lonely woman.
I've always wanted to be our own corpse. Just want something to hold at night.
Oh, Sharon.
No, nothing weird. It's just I've got a king bed. And, you know, I'm on one side. There's nothing on the other. It'd be great to roll over. I mean, people have suggested I get a large body pillow. It's just not the same thing.
Someone said I should just get a dog. But all the dogs here are working for the police.
They've all got dynamite on.
Why get
on
a large body pillow when you can just get a large body?
Exactly.
Cheryl.
So the Mountie said sent the images to various forms of media, which, of course, were happy to cover the already sensational story.
Yeah.
Because they loved it. It came to a big shootout. It was a big dramatic finish, and now they've got pictures of the body. So it's big news around Canada. Nothing happened for a while, but eventually, a few years later, someone came forward with a tip-off. Ooh. Years later. It was said that the corpse resembled a man named Arthur Nelson. In British Columbia, in 1925, about 6 years before all of this, a man who called himself Arthur Nelson was trapping along the Nelson River. Nelson had the same description, skills and temperament and accent as Albert Johnson. It appeared that Albert Johnson had moved northward to Yukon, and where Nelson disappeared, Albert Johnson had appeared.
Gotcha.
From there, many stories have been put forward over the years, and it's almost certain that Albert Johnson was also an alias.
Yeah.
These are the stories about Arthur Nelson. Apparently, he loved the people that remembered seeing him. He loved local legends about lost gold mines and often spoke about going out to find them.
Okay.
The theory is, had he found the mine and that's why he was so keen to be left alone? Was he hiding it? Was he scaring people off, including the First Nations people, by throwing away their traps and also shooting at the police, hoping that no one would discover his secret mine? Yes, he had gold teeth on him, but you wouldn't find that in a mine.
Okay, they're not naturally occurring.
No, not naturally occurring teeth.
Interesting. Okay, now we've got a clue.
So where did they come from? A less fanciful supposition is that Albert Johnson, when he was known as Nelson,
was a dentist.
Well, honestly, that make more sense than some of the theories. They thought that he'd been seen with this other man and then turned up. He'd been seen with another man trapping alone. Arthur Nelson was traveling with a friend.
Okay.
And then Albert Johnson appears on his own. Had Albert Johnson aka Arthur Nelson, killed the friend,
yep.
kept the gold teeth,
yep.
and then when the Mounties knocked on his door being like, oh my God, I'm wanted for murder, shoot first, ask questions later type thing.
Why, like if I murdered either of you guys, I'll be honest, I'm probably not taking your teeth with me.
I know.
That's a bit gross, eh?
Oh, they leave.
They are beautiful, but that's why I want to leave them yeah. with you. Take them to the so afterlife much. With you. Enjoy those, hey?
Oh, otherwise you're having mush in the afterlife.
It's just mush for you. That's not fair. Just because I
you know what they say about teeth? Can't take them with you. Can't take them with you, mate. Make the most of them here. Can't take them with you.
They also say can't live with them. So it's very confusing.
Yeah, it's a confusing.
One of the more so that's one of the theories is that he, like you said, Jess, possibly was yeah. already on the run for another crime.
And he assumed then, that's what they...
And that's what. And really, they were like, no, mate, we just wanted to talk to you.
Yeah.
One of the more out there theories is that he was a hitman who was hiding out after a job.
Okay.
This would explain why he was such an excellent shot. He was an amazing marksman and why he had so much cash on him.
Right,
paid him
yeah.
cash.
Yep.
But apart from that, those are the most... The theories that tie that.
Imagine
to
if
that
someone
story.
Took a hit out on you and it was actually quite a cheap job. That'd be offensive, wouldn't it? Like how much to kill Jess? Oh, $50. Yeah.
Honestly, yeah. Oh, you just pay for my tram ride and I'll do the rest.
Yeah, so $350 should cover it.
Well, maybe a couple of snacks.
They've got you pinned down. They're like, any last request? And you're like, just one question. How much are you getting paid for this? Just so I know.
I would like to know.
$50? Oh, come on.
Yeah, that'd be insulting. I'm worth more than that.
I've got that's only half me bank vault's worth. The trapper's remains were exhumed by a forensic team and submitted for DNA analysis for the television documentary Hunt for the Mad Trapper, which aired in 2009.
Oh, wow.
Which is available online, and I've watched all 7 pixels that made up the upload that I saw. And, my God, 2009, you'd think, oh, like you get on Reddit, viral videos go all the time. Check out this HD footage from Japan, Tokyo, 1909. This is from 2009. It was very hard to make out. I kind of understood the gist of the program. Carrie Gower from Myth Merchant Films, who made the documentary, said, we know his age, which is between 30 and 40. We're able to do to track where he was most likely raised from 12 or so on. We know that he was either from Midwestern, the USA, or from Northern Europe, in particular, the Scandinavian countries.
That's
Dave,
so
can I stop
different.
You right there? She doesn't know anything. No. We know their age. Between 30 and 40. That's a big range.
Know.
We know where they were from. America or Europe. Two different continents.
I know. They...
She knows so much. Oh, she's narrowed it down. They're from Earth, and we're confident they were alive at the time. Pretty confident.
Pretty confident. But I will not lock it in. It didn't narrow it down. It basically ruled out... The only thing it ruled out was that many Canadians have come forward saying, I think I'm related to the Mad Trapper.
Right.
I think he's Canadian.
Yeah.
That's basically the only thing it ruled out. That's it. 45 minutes of safety.
In Canada, there was a sort of a Dead Poet Society scene where everyone stood up on their desk and said, I'm related to the Mad Trapper. No, I'm related.
Over the years, hundreds of people wrote in to say that they knew who the dead man really was, and the mounted police investigated every tip-off. Women claimed him as a husband. People claimed he was a father, a brother, a son. He was named as a murderer for Michigan, a World War I sniper, an ex-provincial policeman, all these tip-offs. My favourite theory is in Ellen Phillips' article in the Maclean's magazine. He says that he could have been, quote, the blueberry kid, and then gave no more context as to what that means.
Okay.
And when I Googled blueberry kid, all that comes up is Violet Beauregard from Willy Wonka. Could it be?
Well...
Maybe.
Yeah, probably.
I am shocked to tell you that at the end of the day, the so-called Mad Trapper of Rat River might have been just a dude that wanted to be left alone and didn't like being interrupted in the wilderness, and that's why he shot at police. But the truth is, we'll probably never know who he really was. That's right, episode 250 has been a mystery episode all along!
Oh! he bloody got us.
Gotcha. First it was Krishmish, then it was New Year's, and now it's a mystery episode.
Oh, you've done it all.
Done it all. Did for it episode 250.
I forget how unsatisfying mysteries are.
I know, I'm so sorry. It is. He was an absolute badass who survived some unbelievable conditions and went on the run for longer than anyone humanly ever could.
Wow.
So it is an amazing story, but we probably will never know the real identity of the Mad Trapper of Rat River.
Dave, what a story. Well done.
Thank you so much. I'm glad it finally got up.
You've tried.
Five attempts. I thought it was a cool story. So.
Yeah, it's a pretty wild story. And, yeah, unsatisfying and so confusing. Like, why? Why do that? But anyway, that's for him to decide. And yes, he did.
But the story ends here. Well, with that report done and dusted, that brings us to everyone's favourite section of the show, which is, of course, our Patreon section.
Yes.
We thank the beautiful people that support the show at patreon.com/dogoonpod, where you can get yourself a number of rewards, we like to call them. Yeah. Treasures.
Yes. Gifts.
Gift. That's right. You can get
little prezzies.
Little prezzies. You can get 3 bonus prezzies a month. By that, we mean 3 bonus episodes,
mm-hmm,
including our Patreon-only podcast, Phrasing the Bar, a report, and usually something else fun. And there's a whole back catalogue to get through as well. So if you are like us and bored in isolation at the moment, I think there's over 75 bonus episodes to catch up on.
Yeah, there's a lot. We do a weekly newsletter. There's a Facebook group. There's heaps of good stuff. So, yeah, you should, if you'd like to, you can absolutely join us at patreon.com/dogoonpod.
And you may have noticed it's just the two of us speaking now.
Just the two of us. Yes, that's right. Matt, as you might have picked up, was via satellite for this week's episode. So Dave and I are just here in the studio to do this section by ourselves. And that's right. Fine.
We're fine without our oldest and dearest member.
And it's kind of worked out nicely because the last couple of weeks he's sort of put me in charge of doing the fact, quote, or question. So, you know, it's sort of like I've had a bit of guidance. I've had some training with him being my co-pilot, yes, just exactly, sitting there helping me. And now he's like, spread your wings, little one. You can do it.
The student has become, well, the professor.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
I think so, yes.
Thank you.
He's still a teacher, yeah, but I'm a professor. Exactly. I have tenure. I've never known what that means.
It means they can't get rid of you.
That sucks. Why would you? That's a terrible system. Yeah. I just want tenure so that I can just coast.
Coast forever. Yeah, I think it's just like a guaranteed contract.
That's dumb.
Yeah.
But that's my thinking. Anyway.
I'd prefer to be called professor for life.
That's good. Sounds fun. That makes more sense.
Yeah.
It's just about jazzing up the language we use. So shall we get stuck into some facts, some quotes and some questions?
Please, but I believe this section does actually have a jingle.
Oh my God, I almost forgot. Let me just play it here for you. Fact, quote or question.
Ding.
Perfect.
Never forget the ding.
Never forget the ding. So our first fact, quote, or question comes from Paul Mellor.
Hi, Paul.
Paul has given himself the title. Oh, my God, it's a very long title, Paul. Okay, so his title is Fellow of the Royal Society of Dogoon Engineering Bad Boys.
Oh, a bad boy for life.
And then he says, just to add some context, this isn't related to the movie series Bad Boys, but was linked to the comment about me being one of the recent... about me being one on the recent bonus episode. I then realized it may sound like I was excluding any girls and I don't want it to be heard that way. As a feminist of the podcast, I'm sure Matt will have the final say, but if it ever did get read out, please point out that anyone can be a bad boy of the fictional society I made up. Also, Dave, I have downloaded some Book Cheat episodes, so I may not be a bad boy after all. Keep up the great work. Loving the content in the new web series too. Cheers, Paul. That was his title.
Wow, and you have to use that when you're addressing him.
Absolutely. You have to say all of that.
Yeah, it's rude if you don't.
Paul, honestly, just send us a message, mate. But, okay, so Paul has given us a quote. Oh, my God. And then in his... where he can write, he's written, this is actually a quote followed by a question.
Oh, he's found a loophole.
Paul, you are taking the piss.
Paul's taking the piss.
Matt wouldn't say it. but I'll say it.
That's right. But the feminist of the podcast isn't here.
Because I have to read it all and I'm tired and hungry. It says, this quote is one I refer to regularly in my job as an engineer. You can only make as well as you can measure.
Okay.
You can only make as well as you can measure. That's by Sir Joseph Whitworth, creator of the British Standard Whitworth System, which became a standard for screw threads. My question is, have you ever made anything that you could measure and did it turn out well?
Anything like a practical thing?
I mean,
absolutely not.
No, IKEA furniture, but it's been measured by someone else.
Made anything?
And even then, if I can avoid building it and handball that to someone else, I absolutely will.
Yeah.
Last time we were doing live streams, I was moving house and we moved house on the Saturday and I was like, oh, I got to go to work, but you get started on the flat pack then, okay? All right, hooroo. Kind of hoping that it would all be done because there was like four things that needed to be built.
Great.
Half of one was done when I got back and he'd had to call my dad for help. So there was two people working on half of one thing.
Wow.
So.
Is it all done now?
It's all done now. But, you know, I'm always adding. I'm always recreating.
Yeah, Paul, I'm afraid that I am probably the least practical person you could ever meet.
Yeah, that is true.
I cut myself when I'm hanging out the washing, you know?
Yeah. And, you got kid pegs.
Yeah,
they're
exactly.
Pegs for babies.
Exactly. My theory is if it's childproof and I can get through it, it's not really childproof.
Yeah, agreed.
My theory.
That's how we test. So thank you very much to Paul. We appreciate your
thanks, Paul. But we don't
your
do
piss take.
We don't do much measuring here.
Yeah.
Also, I love the guy that came up with a measuring system. That guy Whitner, or whatever his name is. It's like, yeah. No, you can only do it as long as you can measure. It's like, I think you're trying to sell something here, and that's how you measure stuff in your system.
Yeah, and it worked.
Yeah.
My dad always says measure twice, cut once, that sort of thing. But, you know, he's a practical man. And my brother is a carpenter. Like, there's just, I've been surrounded by people who love that shit.
Mm.
So I let them have fun with
so
it.
So you didn't pick it up? Because I would have thought that maybe you'd pick it up, but you don't get any of that.
Nah. Mm. And also, my parents used to sort of try to get me to help out in the garden. And I think I was a pretty good teenager. Like, I was respectful and, you know, there was no tantrums or anything. And I'd help wherever I could. But if it was gardening, I would be like... No. Just actively no. And now yesterday I potted some new flowers into little pots on my balcony. I was sending Mum pictures. I was like, what's happened to me? So who knows? Maybe I'll take up woodwork.
Yeah, you'll be woodworking this time next week.
Who knows? Our next fact quota question comes from, and they've put their pronunciation of their name in here, which I love.
Appreciate it.
Joe Fleischman.
Oh, okay.
I hope I got that right based on your phonetic spelling out for me there, Joe.
Fleischman.
Joe's given himself the title of, if possible, oh, it's so sweet, I'd like to give the title to my son, Soren, who will be the official junior executive small child of the podcast. Welcome aboard. You are our junior executive small child.
We also have a senior executive small child, just to be clear.
Absolutely. It's just a slightly bigger child. It could be smaller physically, but they're like a bigger personality.
Yeah, exactly.
Bigger
they
leadership.
They are outrageous. They really need to shut up.
And Joe has given us a quote, and the quote is, if every pork chop were perfect, we wouldn't have hot dogs. So I mean, how can we extrapolate that? If you're a bit shit, that's all right.
We wouldn't have hot dogs. You're right here. Is it a quote attributed to someone, or is that?
Yes, that is a quote from Greg Universe.
What a name.
Yeah.
I trust him.
Do you? That's good.
I don't know who it is. I'll look him up.
Yeah, you'll look it up.
Greg Universe. Sorry, it's coming up here.
Is Greg Universe a real person?
No, it is a cartoon character, looks like.
Ah.
Greg Universe is the father of Steven Universe. I don't know what that means. It's stevenuniverse.fandom.com. So I think Steven Universe is the thing.
Ah, cool. There you go.
Never heard of that. There you go.
Well,
it's a good quote though.
That is nice. Our next fact quota question comes from Brielle Strobel.
Brielle Strobel. I like it.
Brielle's given herself a title of Mrs. Mothman.
Oh, okay. Mm. Fantastic.
M'lady. And she's given us a fact.
Glad you finally put a ring on it.
Here is the fact. If I told you the... If I told you the meeting scheduled at noon has been moved forward 2 hours, what time is the meeting? It's been moved forward 2 hours.
Forward 2 hours.
Yeah.
I would say 2 o'clock.
It's been moved forward. So it's earlier. So it's 10 o'clock.
10 o'clock, yes. I think this is my conundrum.
Well, if you said 2 p.m., then you perceive time as moving towards you, or the ego-moving perspective, which means you see time as though you are moving through it. If you said 10 a.m., then you have the time-moving perspective, in which you see yourself as stagnant and time just moves without you. This is called fictive motion, if you need more clarification.
There you go.
Move forward.
I can understand. It does make sense. 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock probably is the actual answer.
But yeah, but you are sort of thinking of like, okay, well... 12, 1, 2. Yeah. Huh. That's very interesting.
It is, yeah.
Cool that we had two different answers too.
Yeah.
Rather than us both being like...
Yeah, 10 o'clock, what do you mean?
Obviously.
Yeah, sure. Next question, please.
And finally, our final fact quarter question for today comes from Sophie Shooter.
Hello, Sophie Shooter.
Sophie's given us off the title of Head of Office Administration... semicolon swaps division.
Oh, that would is that because they're doing the Patreon snack swap?
Oh, yes, of course.
That makes. I was just thinking the office thing threw me off a bit there because I was thinking about office supplies.
And I knew Sophie had done that, but for some reason the swap just threw me off there. Yes.
So a fantastic initiative that Sophie has absolutely spearheaded without any involvement from us.
No.
So we've got to give her 1,000,000% of the credit is on our Patreon group. She started an international snack swap. So the people that are members of our Patreon group get to send snacks to people in other countries that you might get there but not here.
Yeah, it's been really nice, especially in isolation, you know. It's nice to get a little care package.
People have been uploading the photos of some of the stuff. It's wild.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, we get... It's stuff like we have Vegemite here and barbecue shapes, but you might not have that in Finland.
Exactly, so, yes.
Yeah, so I think it's such a great idea. I never would have thought of it, and thank you so much for doing it.
One of my friends, Steph, is a Patreon, and she a picture got uploaded of what she sent. Tim Tams, Vegemite shapes, and a few other amazing things. And I messaged her, and I was like, mate, well done. She goes, oh, you couldn't even see that I added Whiz Fizz as well. I was like, yes! Then we had a long discussion about how much we love Whiz Fizz, which is just a little bag of sherbet, really.
Yeah, but a tiny spoon. Yeah.
Tiny spoon.
Love the spoon.
God, I think I might pick up some Whiz Fizz on the way home.
Yeah, that'll keep you going.
Yes. I'll be up all night. I've got medical tears. Anyway, Soph has given us a question. She's asked, what was your favourite hobby as a kid?
Favourite hobby? I went through the range of sports.
Yeah.
Which is funny because wasn't an athletic kid, but I did, you know, swimming and a little bit of basketball, cricket.
Yeah.
Tennis, that was the one that I did the longest, probably stuck with that. And then in early high school, I would say, when you could say you were a kid then, that music was the big hobby.
Yeah, of course.
Playing my bass guitar.
For you, for sure.
My God, I was I frothed over it.
Yeah, that's fair. I guess I'm sort of the same. I mean, I started playing basketball when I was 7 because my older brother played, so I just copied everything he did. So I played until earlier this year when the season got cut down because of COVID-19. So I've always played basketball.
And have you stopped for a long period of time in that time?
Here and there, like a couple of years maybe. A couple of years is probably the longest break.
It's great that you've kept it up. I love it.
Because I miss it when I don't play it. I really enjoy it. It's a lot of fun. And I think just having done it since I was a kid, it feels very familiar. There's something kind of comforting about that. Like I know what's going on. I know how to do everything. Like starting a new sport a bit later, I don't think is something I'd be very good at because I'm like, I don't get all the rules.
Yeah, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
Do you enjoy watching basketball?
I don't watch a lot of basketball. But I do, yeah, I do like it. It can be kind of, it depends. Sometimes it can be kind of boring to watch because it's just like pass, pass, goal.
It's so up and down. I know, one end to the other.
Yeah, because it's so fast. But
I like watching highlights of it because you get to see all the cool moves and stuff. My other main hobby as a kid was, I don't know if you ever did this, was throwing rocks into rivers.
No.
I loved that. I could stand there for honestly 3 hours and just be like, throw this like on an embankment and just throw. Terrible for soil erosion. But I just love the splash.
Yeah, splash is fun.
Oh, so much fun.
And, you know, we would ride our bikes around and we had rollerblades and we would set up like little ramps in our, because we lived in a court, a cul-de-sac.
Oh, that's
so
fun.
No cars and so, not many cars coming and going. So we had the road to ourselves. So, yeah, we'd set up little ramps and jump off them and it felt massive, but it probably was like, it was like a small plank of wood and I was like, sick.
Whoa, look at it go.
And then, yes, high school was music for me as well, I guess. Still sport, but that's when I was in a band for a bit.
So much fun.
Yeah.
My and in terms of fads, which you could say is a hobby, went through all those, you know, all the TV shows, all the stuff that everyone loved. But the number one of my life was, of course, Pokemon cards.
Oh, yeah, okay. I didn't get so into the
lived
cards.
For them.
I liked, I had a Pokemon game on my Game Boy, which I liked.
Was it a red or a blue?
I had red.
Oh, I had blue.
Yeah, nice.
Such
and
fun.
And I did like that. And I've thought about getting it on the Switch, and you've been playing it a lot on the Switch recently.
Yeah,
haven't you?
So I got the one. So there's Pokemon Sword and Shield, which is the new updated one, which has like all the 6 million new Pokemon that I don't really know. But the one that I got was Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu.
Yep.
Because it is essentially that red or blue or Pokemon Yellow remade just with better graphics and
fuck
on a bigger screen. And
so
I know all the Pokemon. I remember them all.
Yeah.
I remember the gym badges and all that stuff that you get. So
yeah,
I just beat it. I recently beat it.
Yes. Good job.
So much fun.
I've thought about getting it again, but I don't know if I'll still enjoy it. Maybe the nostalgia, I'm not sure. But I hope that answers the questions. That's our hobbies.
Yeah.
From when we were children. I don't really have hobbies anymore.
Podcasting.
Yeah, it's it started as a hobby. Now that's kind of a job. I used to play ukulele a bit. Now I haven't played for ages. It's somewhere in my house.
Hmm.
I need a hobby. But yeah, anyway, so that's our fact, quote, or question section, which brings us to everyone's other favourite part of the show, which is, of course, the Patreon shout-outs.
That's right. These people have been supporting the show, and one of the rewards is we shout-out to them, and we usually come up with a game, Jess, or you most often do.
Yeah.
Tying back to the Mad Trapper of Rat River.
I was kind of thinking of like where they'd hide out.
Oh, okay. No, that's good.
Is that good?
Yeah, where they'd hide out. Okay.
Mm.
So is it a location?
Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
I don't think they're shooting any cops.
Okay.
They're just hiding out for a bit. Maybe they even just, you know, need a bit of a break. You know what I mean?
Oh, for sure.
So without Matt here, maybe we'll do four each. What do you reckon?
Let's
get
do it.
Through a few. Do you want me to kick things off?
Please.
I would love to thank from London in Great Britain. Have you heard of London?
I've heard of it.
Mm.
Couldn't point to it.
We would love to thank James Edwards.
Thank you so much, James Edwards.
James is a supporter of the show who's come to our live shows before and has a delightful laugh.
Oh, the laugh. I thought this might be you, James
Edwards.
Yeah,
that's James. So thank you, James. And I would also love to thank...
Well, we were going to say where he's hiding out.
Oh, yeah.
James, where is he hiding?
I'm like, no, I'm done.
To be honest, James, it is difficult for you to hide with that laugh. So it has to be a very unfunny place.
He's hiding in the change rooms.
Okay.
At a Big W.
Oh, fantastic, which is a quite cheap chain of department stores here.
Yep.
Fantastic for a bargain.
Yeah.
Love the Big W.
And to hide.
And you're in the change room. How long has you been in there?
2 months.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, because they do sell food too, so we could have just got supplies.
Yeah, he just sneaks out at night. Nobody, I mean, it's poor work ethic from the people working there who haven't cleaned the change room.
I mean, a couple of times people have knocked on and said, you're okay in there? Need any help? No, I'm all right.
Oh, good, thanks. Just change your voice a bit so they don't think it's the same person in there.
How long?
I'm fine, thank God.
How long could you be in there and how many times could they say, are you okay, before they'd bust down the door?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe like when they're closing, surely.
Sorry, you've got to go. No, I'm okay. I'm okay.
I'm all right.
You need to say that.
Sorry, we're actually closed. I'm all right.
I'm all right. Thank you. That's okay. Just trying on the other pair.
No, I've got all the sizes I need. Thanks. Yeah.
Mate, we're going to call the police. No, I don't need anything.
No, all good. Thank you.
Oh, what a great place to hide.
Thank you to James. I would also love to thank from Berlin. Love to thank Clara, Louise, Hildebrand.
Fantastic. Great to have a listener from Deutschland.
Yes.
Sing along.
So good. Where would Clara be hiding?
She's hiding in plain sight.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. At the casino.
Yes. You lose track of time in exactly. there. Have People I been here a week? Have I been here 3 years? I don't know. There's no windows here. There's no clocks. Terrible place to work, by the way.
Have you worked?
No, I am. I've just recently met someone who works at the casino and is only about 22 years old and said several sexual harassment cases.
Oh, wow.
She's already lodged.
Oh, wow.
It's a bad place.
My goodness. And we're, of course, not naming a casino. This is somewhere in the world.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know where this casino is. I nearly worked at a casino.
Mm-hmm.
When I was about 22, I got offered a job when I was doing a lot of trivia hosting. I could have been the bingo caller.
Oh, my God.
But I was going away and I said, oh, can I just start 2 weeks later? They said, no, you have to start straight away or not at all. And I was like, this doesn't make any sense.
That's so dumb.
So I just, and to be honest, from what you've just said, I don't know where this casino is. Let's assume it's somewhere in the Northern Hemisphere.
Yeah.
Maybe. Or the Southern Hemisphere. We don't know.
Who knows?
Maybe that wouldn't have been a good job. But you're right. Just in terms of, I don't think it would be that super fun to work at because it is that dark.
They're weird places.
With lights. No, but no natural light.
Yeah, it's not good.
No real fresh air. Yeah.
But, I mean, Clara's fine.
Yeah, she's hiding out there.
She's hiding out.
Great to hide out.
And, you know, like, she's seeing shows and stuff that they have on.
Yeah.
And there's a cinema. Like, she's not in the actual, like, gambling section the whole time.
Maybe only goes in there to get the free drinks and food if you're a high roller. You know, they feed you a bit. Yes,
and she is.
And they're like, well, you've been here for 3 weeks. You've probably lost a lot of money here. But she hasn't.
Hasn't at all. She's fine. She's just taken that free food, then wandering off seeing another show. She's a genius.
Amazing.
Thank you to Clara. I'd also love to thank, a little closer to home this time, from Carnegie here in Victoria, Lawrence Martin.
Lawrence Martin. I love the name Lawrence.
Lawrence is good, isn't it?
Great name.
Lawrence is hiding in a 7-Eleven.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So many, but it's like a 7-Eleven that is temporarily closed for renovations. Okay. Renovations haven't started yet, so he's alone in there with all the food.
Oh, wow. Is the slurping machine on?
You best believe it's on. Oh,
that's great.
And he can just top up whatever flavor he wants. Wow. And it's not all bad food in there. You know, there's pasties, crackers and hummus, sandwiches.
Some sort of muesli bar maybe.
But yeah, you could have a chocolate bar here and there. Yum, yeah. Yum.
That would be great.
I'm definitely hungry.
Yeah.
Definitely hungry.
So he's hiding out in the leftovers at my house. So I'm going to eat after this.
Oh, man. I'm going to go home and have a pizza. That is probably my plan for tonight. So when you're listening to this, I ate pizza 4 days ago.
Oh, yum.
A little bit of sizzle for you.
Oh, I love pizza. You going to get a margarita?
Probably, yes.
You always get a margarita.
I do. I love it. You can't beat a classic.
Do you get a couple of pizzas? Because you're feeding two people, I assume, with the
pizzas.
Absolutely,
yes.
And do you do a bit of a share?
No. This is how we knew we were right for each other, was that we went, when the first time we went to the movies, we sort of had a discussion about sharing popcorn or not sharing popcorn, and we both said we'd prefer our own popcorn. And it's really? The same with pizzas. Wow. We get our own pizzas. It's not that we don't share. I mean, he just demolishes pizza and he eats meat. So he will usually have a meat pizza, which I don't eat.
Okay. All right. That definitely does make sense.
And I never quite finish mine. So yes, he definitely has one or two pieces of mine as well.
Oh, okay. Because I love the getting two different pizzas.
Yeah.
And then
you get a bit
I have both. 95% of the one.
Yeah.
And then the one slice, we have a swap.
I love that. Swap one.
You swap once.
Yes.
Yeah, so you just get a little bit of a trade because you've picked your favorite.
Exactly. So I want to eat it.
You want to eat all of it. But then also you're like, well, that does look pretty good. I'll have a little bit.
We went to a new pizza place the other day, which I'd had with some friends before, and I forgot. I knew the pizzas were big, but they are insanely big. The box was like this big. They're like, I'm not.
Jess can't even hold out her arms big enough for this box.
It's huge.
I could get in the box.
We got one pizza, and then Aiden was like, let's get a half. You could buy a half as well.
Mm.
So we got a half in a different flavor. And we did not get through one entire pizza. It was insanely big. And then you get like garlic knots as well. It was just heaven.
Where is this place?
It's Sal's Pizza. It's a New Zealand chain. They've opened in Melbourne as well. And it's very good.
It's really big.
It's fucking huge.
Love it.
Anyway, sorry to derail there, but I'm very hungry. And finally, I would love to thank from Perth in Scotland. I didn't know there was a Perth there.
Yes. I mean, always the chance that we're named after their Perth.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. There's a lot of, there's another, is there another Melbourne? There's definitely another Victoria.
We've got the Melbourne, Florida.
Oh, yeah, Melbourne, Florida. Thank you. I think, is there a Victoria in Canada? Probably. Anyway, from Perth in Scotland, I would love to thank Megan Bain.
Megan Bain.
Megan Bain.
Megan Bain is, of course, hiding out on a golf course.
Yeah, of course.
Open.
But it's nice weather.
Oh, yeah, of course. Sadly, probably not in Scotland.
No, it's fine. It's a lovely balmy day. And she's sunbaking on the sandbanks.
There you go.
That's quite nice, isn't it?
And I'm sure Megan would love to hear this fact while she's sunbaking. Perth was named after the birthplace of Sir George Murray, who was British Secretary of the State for the Colonies when the city in Western Australia was founded in 1829.
Ah, cool.
So there you go.
There you go.
We love it.
We love it. Do you want to thank some people?
I would love to thank some people if I can click the right tab on my computer.
That's why I panicked before and was like, and the next person was just because I was trying to get back to the right spot.
All right. Well, let me just say that our next name comes all the way from Horten, Norway.
Wow.
Horten in Vestfold, Norway. I would like to thank Henrik T. Peterson.
Whoa.
That's a fantastic Norwegian name.
That's so good. I love a middle initial, and Henrik, T is a good one.
Henrik T. Peterson. Henrik Ibsen, of course, one of the most famous Norwegians in history, let's be honest. Henrik T. Peterson, thank you so much for your support from Norway. And where is he hiding out, Jess?
He's hiding out in Disneyland.
Oh, I love it.
He's hiding out in Disneyland.
That's another great place to hide out.
Yeah, you could be there for ages and not see it all.
Yeah, as long as you're not like trapped in the Small World After All part.
Yeah, that's haunting.
You don't want to be hiding there.
No one would look for you. Again, seeing shows, going on some rides, plenty of food options.
Lots of food. Big turkey legs. Do you know that that's a big thing in Disneyland?
Oh, yeah. Mm. Not for me, thanks. Mm.
I quite like turkey, but I don't know about munching it just on a stick.
Yeah,
but,
turkey on a stick.
I would like to thank now from Royston in England. Another fantastic name. They're all fantastic. It's Florence Jones.
Oh, that's a beautiful name. Flojo.
Oh, yeah.
Florence Jones. Sorry, Florence, you've probably got that a lot and you probably don't like it that much. So apologies, but it just came out of me. It flowed, you could say. Shut up, Jess. Stop talking.
What about Ents Owns? Second part. No, Flojo is better. See, there you go. There are bad options too. There are.
Where's Florence hiding?
She's hiding out on the moon.
Oh, my God. That's not a great hiding spot.
I know.
How are you going to get back when you're ready to?
That's the problem. She has been there.
She's stuck.
Since the late 1960s.
Oh, my God. Has she got food?
Yeah.
Because she can't hunt, can she, on the moon?
No, that's right. Luckily, there's a lot of those toothpastes that are actually meals somehow.
Yes.
That they eat over on the
moon. And obviously moon cheese.
Well, yes, of course.
So she's got countless crackers and a lot of moon cheese.
Mm, yum.
Yum. Good for protein.
Thank you so much, Florence Jones. I would like to thank... Now, we're going back up to Scotland to Aberdeen.
Aberdeen.
Fantastic that words said in that voice, but still. Have a crack. Andrew McLeod.
Andrew McLeod. That's a Scottish name.
Yeah, that certainly is.
Andy McLeod from Aberdeen.
I believe he's from there.
Aberdeen.
Mm.
Oh, I'm not doing well, am
I? Think that he is a... he's hiding out on the set of Taggart.
But as an extra.
Yeah, exactly. But he's in the background of every shot.
Every shot.
The director's a bit like, what's going on?
Why is this guy always there?
This is just like someone's at home in their bedroom alone now and he's just in the background. Andrew's like, no, I'm meant to be here. They're like, well, his accent's pretty authentic.
He says he's meant to be here, okay. I guess.
Murder. Thank you so much, Andrew. And I would also like to thank now from Reynoldsburg, Ohio.
Oof.
I would like to thank Jared Schaefer.
Jared Schaefer is hiding out in a big cup.
How big's the cup?
Very big.
Wow.
It's a very big cup.
Like a drinking cup?
I just looked at this framed picture I have, which is a teacup that says ambition on it. Like... Wow. Dolly Parton's Pour Myself a Cup of Ambition.
Oh, now I get it. And I also love that you were so ambitious for Jared that you use a big cup.
But I was like, come on, Jess, you can do this. And I looked at that. There is like one of those big cups they give you at the cinemas. There's one of those on my desk and it's for Men in Black International, which I did not see. It was when I went to see Frozen 2.
Oh, right. But you got your own popcorn, of course.
Yeah, of course. Beck knows the rules. That's who I went to see it with. And then I looked to the left and there was a cup of ambition. So, sorry, Jared, but you're hiding out in a very big cup.
Is there anything in the cup with him?
He's made himself quite a little home.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It's quite nice in there.
Great.
But it's a big cup.
Is it so big that you need
It's actually a house just in the shape of a cup. You know, like the old lady lived in a boot kind of thing?
Yep.
It's just like a cup-shaped house.
Do you still enter from the top?
Yes.
If it rains.
You're on a slide, so you have to like pour yourself in.
But if it rains, will you drown?
Yes. Luckily, he lives in a very dry place.
Oh, thank goodness. Good luck, Jared.
He is yet to drown.
Yet to drown.
Keep us posted.
What a claim.
Let us know when you're drowned.
Thank you so much to everyone. That's, the dying words are, I'm drowning.
Yep. All right.
Thanks to everyone that supports the show. You make the show possible and we really appreciate you.
We really do. And well, that the only thing that we have left to do, if I'm remembering correctly, is to thank or to induct some people into the Triptych Club.
That's right. I guess while you're checking if anyone's coming in, Jess, because it's not every week, but people that's been supporting the show on the shout-out level for 3 years continuously without breaking off. To thank them again, we'd like to induct them into an exclusive little club where there's some hors d'oeuvres that will be served, some live music. And once you're in, I mean, if you want to stay, you can stay for life. It's a life,
absolutely,
life induction.
You can hide out there.
Oh, that's a great place to hide out.
Yeah, because it's got everything. It's like the menu changes every week.
Mm. And it's so like hidden, it doesn't appear on Google Maps.
Yeah, and like really famous musicians perform there. And it's just like an open bar and there's sleeping pods. It honestly has everything you need.
Mm.
So I don't know why you're all complaining about it.
Yeah, oh, come on.
Come on. So we do have some inductees, actually. I think we've got three this week.
And will they be eating anything special?
Yes, they'll be eating... I was trying to relate it back to today's topic, but I don't... Like, what was he trapping?
Anything with fur, furry stuff.
Of course, cause for the fur. So I don't want to think about that.
Yeah, that's
so
not nice. Rats? Rats on a stick?
No, only nice foods. Pizza. We were just talking about pizza for a long
time.
Oh,
get it in.
Pizzas. There's actually like a pizza chef there, so you can build your own pizza.
Oh, I love that. Build your own pizza pie.
Yeah, and it's pretty good. And they've got all types of like sauces and drizzles and stuff. It's my favorite thing is to add a pesto drizzle to my margarita pizza.
Oh, okay. You're pimping your margarita. That's good.
Yeah. I love to pimp pizza. So, yeah, we've got Pizza Chef. And then drinks-wise, what goes well with a pizza? Okay. Come on, Jess.
What goes well with a pizza? I think that...
Like beer or cider goes well with pizza.
Yeah, beer and cider's nice. Yeah.
Yeah, I love cider.
What about... Do we have a home brew at the bar?
Yes.
Quite nice.
Yeah, nice little home brew. It's a nice one, though.
Matt's in charge of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's good.
Well, let's let him know.
Yeah, let him know.
Sort out a beer, would you?
And performing live this week, we are very, very happy to have the original cast from the Aladdin animated film.
Oh, my God.
Performing
are they doing,
the songs from they're doing, Aladdin.
Oh, they are?
Yeah.
Wow. None of those are like dancey kind of bangers.
Prince Ali, glorious tea.
Yep, I beg your pardon.
It's a bit of fun.
Ali Ababa. That's fun.
So, yeah.
It's fun to do with your mouth.
So a lot of fun. And then Robin Williams is doing a bit of stand-up in between as well. Some impressions.
Yes.
You know, making fun of people, but not too meanly.
Yeah. It's like everyone, it's all in good fun.
Everyone's going, it's just Robin doing his thing.
Yeah. I'm not offended by it. I'm laughing along even though he's picking on me.
Yeah, that's right.
Perfect.
Oh my God, how does he know me so well?
Perfect amount of mean there. So this week, yes, we have three people joining us in the Triptych Club. First of all, from Riverview, Florida, Christian Goodyear.
Oh, it's a good year now you're here.
I forgot that this is something you do and I love it. Also from, what's MO?
Oh, I wish Matt was here because he's been memorized. Is it Missouri?
And is it St. Louis or St. Louis?
Louis.
Because haven't we had this argument
before? It is Missouri and it is St.
Louis.
Louis.
I'd love to thank Cody Jenkins.
Jenkins.
Welcome. I'm just saying welcome.
All right, I thought you were jumping in.
I'm not jumping in. This is your baby.
naming in? I'm playing.
Cody.
Cody, well.
Cody, I barely even know him.
That's good stuff.
It's not, but that's what's so fun. And also...
Cody's my Brody.
Also joining us at the Triptych Club, what's GA?
Georgia?
Probably. From Suwannee, said that wrong, in Georgia, Scotty Young.
Young. The night is young now. You're here to get us going.
So thank you so much to Christian, Cody and Scotty. Welcome. Please make yourself at home. Put your feet up. Yeah. Only if your shoes aren't dirty, please. We are trying to keep the furniture in nice condition. Yeah, come on.
I mean, we have like fantastic furniture in here.
Yeah. I mean, you're not animals. Thank you so much. There'll be some more people next week as well by the looks of it. Little sizzle.
Oh, fantastic. I'll have to start studying their names and I'll go on rhymezone.com.
Is that a thing?
Do you remember that? I don't think it is anymore.
Rhyme Zone.
You type in a word and it'll just give you the words that rhyme with it.
Wow.
And it was, but it looked like it was made, and it probably was. It's on there, rhymezone.com. It looked like it was made in the early 2000s.
Oh, that's good.
So if I typed in Cody, for example, which I struggled with a little bit before.
You said Brody, which was very good.
My Brody. Depody, Amody.
Toady.
Melody. Four syllables. Little Rody. Man, I'm gonna
Cody, my little roadie.
Got him a little roadie.
When you said melody, was that melody?
Yes, but with an I on the end.
Okay.
A female given name, apparently.
Oh.
But it must be melody. But that doesn't rhyme with Cody.
No, it doesn't.
See, rhymezone.com, fantastic place, a constant source of inspiration in my life.
Is that everything we have to do? That's all of it, isn't it?
That's everything. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. Get in contact anytime at dogoonpod.com. But I guess for the 250th time, I'm just going to say thank you so much for listening to the show. We never really thought it would probably go this long, to be honest.
No.
Just because we didn't plan, that sounds a bit morbid, but I guess we didn't think it was going to fail. We just didn't really think about it. It was just something to do for fun.
Yeah, exactly. You're exactly right. It was something for fun, and then it sort of has morphed into something a whole lot bigger and that we are still baffled by every day.
Yes, but still having fun doing it, thank goodness for
absolutely,
that.
Absolutely, yeah.
So, yeah, hopefully here's to 250 more.
Yeah.
We'll see how we bloody get on.
Yeah, let's go episode at a time for now and see how we go.
Here's to one more next week. Let's try.
That's nice.
I say that every week. So yeah, thanks so much for listening. Get in contact if you would like to. We're on all the social medias at DoGoOnPod. But until next time, thanks so much and I'll say goodbye.
Bye. Laters.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.